idea. So he says, talk about other philosophers that were less patient with this approach. It's not just enough to sit there in your armchair and think, or whatever they had back then.
Yeah.
They probably had leather. The cows were exist back then. Their approach was to go, look, and see, a method of figuring out the world. These philosophers were seen as believing type and known as empiricists. Empiricism is a way of knowing that's dependent upon observation and personal experience with the senses. And that's the only way we get that, and we can know that because we can test even empiricism through empiricism, right? Well, maybe not. So some people would criticize Christianity as being irrational because it is contrary to empirical evidence. Show me the resurrection body of Jesus. Show me the tomb that he laid in. Show me that dead men can be raised from the dead. Show me that amputee's arm can extend once prayed over. Then maybe I'll believe.
Right, right. Maybe. Yeah.
Let the stars align that says, Tony, this is God. Believe in me.
Oh, yeah. If that
XO,
happened.
XO,
yeah,
God.
Yeah, man. Maybe I believe that.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or, you know, it's just a figment of your imagination, or someone's yeah, drugged you, or
that's right.
All yeah, these all, other defeaters that come.
Yeah, really. And so he says, those two ways, you know, you might be criticized as a believer for being irrational. One, that you believe the claims made in the Bible, even though there's no empirical substantiation for them, right? That's the empiricist side of the criticism, right? You don't have any proof, no evidence, right? That kind of stuff. And then, or two, that the claims made in the Bible, which you believe, are in logical conflict with each other. That's the rational side, right, of the irrationality claim, right? And so he tells us, you know, he'll come back to this, but now he wants to deal with the tougher charge of being irrational. And so there's a third one that he wants us to be aware of. He says, much more vicious is the claim made by critics who say that to be religious is to be a Christian, and be a Christian is to be dedicated to believing the absurd for absurdity's sake.
Yeah.
Right? So I believe the absurd just because it is absurd.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's why I'm a Christian.
It's so weird, it has to be true.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. So sadly, unbelievers who think this way have often been given the help of certain Christian theologians who will say that Christianity is indifferent to logic. In fact, it gets so bad among neo-Orthodox theologians that sometimes they're even indifferent to truth. And so neo-Orthodox is this area of, for the lack of a better word, Christianity that came out as a response to the liberalism of the 20th century. The kind of one of the biggest proponents of neo-Orthodox is Karl Barth, who everyone has a good deal to say about Karl Barth, including Karl Barth. And so they would have this response to the liberalism that was coming out that tend to promote a social gospel. And so they wanted to kind of find those extreme ones that were going towards socialism and universalism and a whole scattering of other stuff that would lend to death and starvation for other people for the best of intentions. And so they came up with this kind of neo-Orthodox idea. He doesn't cover it specifically here, but you can read about J. Gresham Machen. Wrote a really good book called Christianity and Liberalism curtails this and talks about it as well.
He also, in this book, referenced Machen's What is Faith?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this one as well, so, yeah.
And if you want to hear me read as a senator, I'm sorry that I was a politician, Anarcho-Christian did a kind of a radio play where J. Gresham Machen was being interviewed by Congress for education, so... I have a small part, but it was really fun to do that. So
you're a star.
There are no small parts. There's only small actors. The Bible says that the world will call what we believe foolishness. In other words, to be really religious means to hold on to something that appears to be foolish, even though it isn't. So, the entire world accepts evolutionary science and follows the one world government, and you're just sitting there in your house going, nope, Jesus, I really believe you because this is so absurd, even though everyone's going against it, and that's how they're going to write the movie about me. and you know, look at people who believe that you have the Branch Davidians nothing bad should have happened to them, but having this idea of David Koresh being the kind of the Messiah's coming for the end times, and so against all opposition, you're holed up in Waco, Texas, and you are the only person that can have children with the women at the compound, and this is the ideal society that's going to bring in the end times.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. I mean, you know, that's it might absurd. Be a little irrational there, but yeah. But can you deal with it within the confines of both worldviews there?
Right. And so what he says, what he's talking about here is you know, people who hold on to things. Excuse me, which they themselves say are foolish, right? Excuse me. So they acknowledge that they're foolish, and simply because these things seem foolish or absurd, then they think they're being very religious and holding on to them, right? And the more foolish and the absurd it is, the more religious they think that they're being, right? And he says, as Christians, we're often put in this category. There are people who think we elevate the value of our personal faith in direct proportion to the degree that our faith is dubious or blind or mystical. That believers should degrade the worth of their faith to any extent that their faith accords with good reason, and that's the right thing to do, right? Degrading it, right?